Once, I'd like to first say thank you to my church for giving me an opportunity to share. I told you the other or Sunday, I told you that I've got 58 years of information and 41 years of it, of marriage and kids, and try to figure out how I'm going to tell all of this or a good bit or some of the highlights of it. I love my church family and I love my immediate family. God has blessed me so much with those. And the first scripture if you brought your Bibles or if you got your phones, first scripture I could quote it or I got it wrote down, but Philippians. And if you're praying, your prayers, the Ephesian prayers and the prayer in Philippians, this is part of it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And thank you, Miss Laurie, for singing that song for us. Has God been good to you? I know He has. And I know He's been good to me. And He's been faithful. And I'm sure if we did a testimony service for all of you, and you could say that God's been faithful in your lives and brought you through so many things. But Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident. When I pray that prayer or read that scripture, and that word confident stood out to me, and thinking that, is our confidence still as strong as it used to be? Now think about that. I mean, we take God's word and we believe it to be God's word, the true word of God. And I believe it from the Genesis to Revelation that is true. And God said what He meant and He meant what He said. And that we need to be confident in His word. We go to the doctors, we can be confident in them, what they tell us, can't we? If they tell us to do something, we go and do it. And we try to make sure we do it. The doctor on these eye drops been telling me to one drop I put six times a day in. And sometimes on Sunday you'll hear Sally's, you'll hear her phone go off, and that means not that it's time to quit, Brother David, that it's time, Roy, to take your drop. You know, or she'll call me at work or text me at work and say, it's time to take that drop. You know, we do all those things, but are we confident enough with God's word? God said that we are healed. God said He'd provide for us. Are we confident enough to take Him at His word? Amen? He's been so good to us. He's brought us through so many things. I wrote down several things and tried to think of what all could I say. And the Lord blessed me at the, I was the baby of our family, and I'm thankful for my mom and dad that, I know it was the highlight of their life, May the 2nd, 1965, that I entered into this world here in Grady County and been here all my life. You know, I minister to inmates, and I hear some of them saying, man, when I get out of here, I'm leaving Grady County. I hate Grady County. Grady County's not the problem. The problem is who you're hanging out with or what you're doing. That's the problem. So I love Grady County. I'm thankful to have been born here. And, you know, I was thinking that, and I've enjoyed all the testimonies that each one of my brothers have given. And Brother David Connell said that I hadn't been that many places. And I could almost relate to him. I mean, when I met Sally I didn't write down, I didn't ask her the date on this, the exact date, and I'm sure she can tell you the exact date, the exact time, the minute, and probably the hours that when we met. But I remember where we met, and I remember it was a gospel sing and there at the Agra Center. I remember all those. Dates just don't stay with me. But where got married in November 19th, 1982, and Mom and Daddy signed for me. I was 17 years old, fisting to be 18, and they signed for me, and Sally's mom and dad was evangelists, and they were fisting to head back to Oklahoma. And I thought I was fisting to lose her. So we had to get her. Had to get her. So Mom and Daddy felt sorry for me, and they signed for me, and I got married. I was fisting to be a senior in high school, and Brother David had asked, he had heard a little bit of the story about me having to, I guess it was probably my first year ever even getting to go to Expo in Moultrie. And in school, you got to get a permission slip. And so they sent a permission slip home, and they said, or it said, you know, parents. And so Mom and Daddy signed it, or Mama, one of them signed it. And Sally wrote wife and drew a line, and she signed it as well. And so, you know, I wish today, wherever that is probably long gone, but I wish we had a copy of that, because I don't know how many times we've told that story of that Sally, you know, I was still in school, and she gave me permission to go to Expo. And also something funny in that, year I was in several years I was in the mechanics class there at the high school and working on a lot of the teachers' vehicles, and that particular morning I coming in the shop and I was driving, I think, Mr. Cone's truck, and was, as I was coming in the shop, I barked the tires or spin the tires, whichever way you want to look at it, and Mr. Walsh ran over there, and he said, "Don't you jerk around on somebody else's vehicle. If you're going to jerk around on it, jerk around on your own." "Yes, sir, Mr. Walsh, I'm sorry. And then some of my friends there in class, I ran over, and they were like in a huddle, and I don't know why I did it, but I did. I ran over to them like I was a bowling ball and just run into them, and not in the truck, me. I run into them. And then ran into him, and Mr. Walsh said, "All right, that's it, out in the hall. I told y'all about all that horseplay." And I said, "Mr. Walsh, it was me. I'll take the blame." And he said, "No, that all y'all. I done told y'all, get out in the hall." And back then, I don't know how the teachers do it today, probably don't whip them today, but in our day, in a lot of your day, a teacher had to get a witness of another teacher to witness them giving you a whipping. So Mr. Butler, the electronics teacher, was next door, and he come out to witness us getting a whipping. And when Mr. Walsh got to me, he said, "Mr. Walsh, what do you think about this, a married man getting a whipping?" And so he gave me my licks. And we look at those things, and we wonder, and we've laughed. We've talked about it several times, and you know, and most of the time, you've heard Sally a lot of times, and hiccuping, and this November 19th, we celebrated 41 years of marriage, and so now it's went up another year. That 41 years since we got married, from the day we got married, she had hiccups every day. So I'm the reason for that. Guys, some of you may and may not have that problem, but if you get the blame, whether if you're the reason or not. But in all these things, I see God brought us through so many different things, and He's been there all the time. And then And you know, in our life, a lot of times we go through these things and then all of a sudden, you may be at work talking to somebody, and not too long ago I was, or every day I'm normally right there at the desk they got for me there. I'm there reading my Bible or something, and then this particular morning, one of my daily reading was talking out of Genesis and talking about the fall of man and in the garden. And this female officer, she asked me, she said, wasn't that was the reason why women have to go through the birthing pains and all? And I said, yeah. I said, you know what? I said, but, and let me give you another date that was a highlight of Sally and my life, was when Marshall was born. June the 18th, 1987. And we're young, boy. We didn't know, or Sally probably knew a lot more than I did. I didn't know nothing. I'm, you know, like almost like dumb as a bag of rocks or something. But anyhow, I mean, we went through the Lamaze classes, and we went through all those things, and I paid attention the best I guess I could, and because a great blessing, and you know, and I'm sure you've seen either on Facebook or you've seen some of us showing the ultrasounds, and I remember back then we've done they did ultrasounds there back then, I think, but we never did. I don't know if we ever had pictures like that, or and we didn't do the things that some of the young do today, and that's okay. I thought maybe, oh my goodness, maybe I forgot it, and I, you know, I hope I showed up for it, but I couldn't remember, and so I asked, did we do that thing that you do the gender reveal? And I said, no, we didn't do that kind of things. But anyhow, it's a great blessing getting to see our first grandchild, blood grandchild. We're thankful for our two grandsons that we have now, and can't wait to, I think I've been hearing several names. Little Bump is on his way, or Roscoe, we're not sure on the name yet. But very, very important. I'm thankful I was there to see both of my kids being born and being right there, helping right along. I was doing the counting, while Sally was doing the blowing, and you know, me as an auctioneer, I forgot you're supposed to stop at 10 and let them breathe, and I just kept on going, and she said, you know, so, but something that I remember, and I told you about that female officer asking me, which brought it back to remembrance. And I believe as we go through life, the Holy Spirit will bring back things to your remembrance, that good things and bad. There's bad things that we've gone through that God has brought us through. But I can remember when Marshall was being born, and like I said, that was my first time. I ain't never done this. And I heard Sally say, boy, when I get to heaven, give me 5 minutes with Eve. And I thought, girl, you better shut up. You about to blaspheme or something. I didn't know what in the world she was talking about. And then, which I looked today to kind of give you Genesis 3:16 is where that curse come about. Because of sin, and guys, where that sin entered in, then is reason why we're having to sweat for you, the sweat of your brow. You'll earn your living by that. But when I heard Sally say that, I thought, oh my goodness. And that female had asked, she said, that's the reason. And she was a young lady, but she's had some kids, and Maybe she didn't know. But see, God will use some of the experiences we've gone through, and it brought it right back. I said, yeah, I remember when Sally said that. And I didn't have a clue what she was talking about. I was just thinking, oh, my goodness, girl. I'd read my Bible. Mom and Daddy brought us up in church. And so I knew a little bit about Scripture. But I was thinking, oh, my goodness, girl, you about to mess up. And then I know a lot of times our expectations, we expecting and wanting certain things. Maybe you just got your heart and your mind set on certain things, and I just knew, boy, we're going to have us a boy, the first one. And Marshall came, and I was just as happy as I could be that she was healthy and everything was fine. I let out a good happy yell, and they thought something had done happened to Sally and everybody and Marshall, and they didn't know what, and they was all about to faint out there in the waiting room. But I come out and I said, it's a girl. So I was just as proud and happy, you know. And then 2 years later, let me back up a little bit too. You know, a lot of times when normally a young man and young woman get married that young, they normally got a baby on the way or something. That wasn't the case. God had a plan back then. He still got a plan in our life today. But 2 years later, Roy come along. Man, I was so happy. I got a girl and a boy. And then just working hard, trying to provide, trying to, some of us, that especially all of us that are parents, can really relate to this. When your mom and daddy was whipping you and they said, this hurts me more than it hurts you, you couldn't understand that. But when you become a parent, you don't really want to chastise or hurt that child. But you're training them. You're training them. It's the reason why we do. The word instructs us too, but you're training them. And you, man, I don't know if this was one of your TV shows you used to watch, but I used to love watching Sanford and Son. Oh, man, I remember Fred would say, oh, Elizabeth, this is the big one, you know. And I can remember the first time I had to really, I tore Marshall up. I rolled up that newspaper and I kind of spat her really good. And Sally said it wasn't good, but I just spat her and When I seen them lips say, oh, I thought I knew what Fred was talking about. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. But see, that's that love. You want the very best for your child. And that's how our Heavenly Father, He wants the very best for His children. You know, He said, if you be an evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more your Heavenly Father wants to give you good things. And so many different things for our first 14 years, we lived in a 10 by 50 trailer, an old one. And by this trailer, thank the Lord for it. A mobile home trailer. It wasn't a modular home. It was a trailer or a mobile home, whichever one you wanted to call it. But we learned how to adapt. I believe in the road that you're on, you learn how to adapt. Paul said he knew how to be content. We learned how to be content in this 10 by 50 trailer. Now, I remember when the kids were small and our first before kids, man, that 10 by 50 trailer was, it was big enough for me and Sally. It was fine. And then as the kids started getting bigger and more toys, it seemed like the walls began to close in on us. And it seemed like there were so many times that we had going through a lot of things and working there for my daddy. It just seemed like there wasn't enough money. It seemed like we was doing the very best we could. And something that comes to mind, and I don't care, in a mobile home, you can keep it just as clean as you can. But living in South Georgia, there's gonna be some cockroaches somewhere. You know what I'm talking about? There's gonna be some roaches in there. And I can remember, and we were in church. We were having confidence in the Lord. We were believing what this word says. Okay? We were believers, we were tithers, and hearing good word and word was being sown in us. And I can remember hearing that. Or there was a lady that was coming to our church at the time, Sister Daisy. Now, I forget what her husband's name, but Sister Daisy, I remember her speaking a word into us and saying, "How big is your God? How big is your God? Are you just fixing, God, you can only work right here in this box? Or is your God a big God? Can't you trust him for a little more? Can't you believe him for a little more?" And I know that Sally and I, we began to believe and trust in him. And like I said, we were tithers. We were believers in what God's word says. And God, we were confident that God said he would do what his word said he'd do. And he always came through. Always came through. Through that journey there, I don't know, we had people that loved us enough and they gave us cars. Man, we had a couple of cars, some of them, one that you had to hold the doors on, but hey, we had a car. That thing would go and we drove it till it about wouldn't go no more. Someone else blessed us with a truck and another car. I mean, so many different things that God has brought us through. God was faithful. But then I believe in that time, we were still living in the 10 by 50 trailer, that Sister Daisy, like I said, she kind of, I forget who it was. I believe it was Brother Pastor Doug McGee preaching one time, and he said, you can have, I think he said tunnel vision, or you can have a broader vision. I forget, he called it a different word, but you can only see it right here, or you can see how big God is and what he can do. And I believe still living in that 10 by 50 trailer, God was blessing me. I was working, and we bought a brand new car. Paid that car off. And then we was thinking, my Lord, in this trailer, we're about, the walls are closing in on us. And something else about that trailer, I told you we was content, but we learned how to adapt. If it was cold in the winter, if it was cold on the outside and you were cold inside, it you knew it was cold outside. If it was hot in the inside the trailer, it was hot outside. That's you knew how to dress. And so many people that, Lord, that God has placed in our lives of several times, living there in that 10 by 50 trailer behind our store up here on 17th Avenue, Leroy was playing outside, and we had concrete block steps for the steps on the back, and he fell out or fell down on the steps, And I was all the way around front at the store, and I heard Sally let out a scream that I knew something was wrong. I took off running, and about that time across the street come one of the EMTs, Daryl Edwards, I think is his name. He's passed away now, but he come running around there, and Sally had done put a rag over his head. He had a place just blood. Every time he'd pump, blood would squirt out. And Daryl, being a EMT, here's what he done. He said he stuck it over that place and counted, I don't know how many times, 10 times, Sally says, and he took it off and quit bleeding. He knew what to do. God supplied, God provided, and Daryl was black. Daryl was a black man. Roy, I don't know, he was how old, maybe 5, maybe? She's saying 3. He was 3, and I remember Sally saying she went to the grocery store maybe the next day or week or something, and saw Daryl in the store, and Daryl come over there and put his hand on Roy and said, "How you doing, little fella?" And he looked, thinking he was going to probably turn colors or something. But, you know, and those little moments that our kids, you know, if you've got kids, there's probably been that moment that they've done something that you was almost embarrassed or almost thinking, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe you said that," or "I can't believe you done that." But God brought us through all those things. God has been faithful. 2011, March the 12th, 2011, back before, or we moved out of the 10x50 trailer. God had provided. We were going to remodel our old home that I grew up in, out on Ridge Road, and our neighbor, where we live at now, our neighbor, I've grown up playing in the neighborhood with him all my life, and he come to me. He said, "Roy, I know y'all need a house, and I'm moving to Albany, and I want you to buy my house." And I said, "Well, I'm gonna have to borrow the money, and so we'll just we'll go to the bank, and I know the bank's gonna have to appraise it." And he said, "Well, I'll that's fine, but I want you to buy my house." And the bank come, appraised it, and while we was waiting to hear back from them, he come to me and he said, "I want you to know what I told you, Annie, in concrete. I want you to buy my house." I said, "Well, just wait. Let's see what the bank says. I got to get the money from them." And then when he came back, the appraisal come back, and it was, I think, less than what he had said, or no, it was right about there. And then so he was asking $50,000, and so we wound up buying the house for $40,000, he was happy. The bank knew it was such a good deal. They paid it off, and we began our journey of buying our own house and paying. God provided. Same thing that Sister Daisy had said, "Can't you believe God for a little bit more?" Because a lot of times we're looking at our circumstances. We were looking at how much I was making and saying, "There ain't no way." We can look at our problems, our body, our ailments, whatever. You know, how many times have we sung or we read what God's Word says? He says, "Whose report are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to be confident in what God says? Are you going to be confident?" And listen, I got some good friends that are doctors that if they call me, I'd go to their house and do whatever they needed for me, because I'm thankful for the many times that they've come through for us, looking out after us. But our confidence needs to be what God says. What God says. He is faithful. March the 12th, 2011, probably a little bit before that, I'm going to I don't know, maybe 2009 or 10, I'm not sure, when I joined the Christian Motorcyclists Association, but we started off in on a old 1984 Yamaha, I think it was, and man, when we'd go to crank that thing up, me and David would laugh a lot of times because I'd try to wait and let those Harleys crank up first, because my Yamaha sounded like two Japanese in there fighting trying to crank up before. That starter, it was just a bad product on that particular model. I mean, it just loud. And so we learned how to ride on that motorcycle, and I can remember believing, Sally said that, or she even rode with me on it too. And I said, Lord, we need a bigger motorcycle. We need that one was strong enough to carry us, but we needed bigger seating. And God put in our heart, Lord, we want a gold wing. And we tried to, or there was times that I remember one time, and I don't have time to tell you the whole story of it, but I was trying to, I was trying to work it out and thinking, okay, I'll just go to the bank. And God had a bigger plan. And even through that time, God even, in my daily reading, God put some scripture in there. I think Isaiah 40:31 was one of them that said, those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength and mount up on wings as eagles. And I can remember that morning saying, Lord, that sounds like a gold wing to me. And then another one that I was about ready to go to the bank and not even trying to buy a gold wing. And the scripture that I had read and someone else come to me and said, whoa, Roy, I think the Lord's telling, my buddy was telling me, I know the Lord's talking to me too, but he's talking to you, or the Lord wanted me to share this with you. And I'd already been reading it that week, and every time I'd turn on the radio, kept coming to me. He said, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I'm God. And I promise you, if we'll listen to what God's word says, he won't steer us wrong. The Holy Spirit won't steer us wrong. Now, I said a while ago that we'd been through a lot of cars growing up some, and I tried to buy us one time. It was an old, wore-out police car. And man, that thing, we had all kind of problems. So you know what I'm saying? If you try to do it, God's, there's going to be a mess. But it turned out that in that time or before that time, God had blessed us with a gold wing. This gentleman from Albany had said the Lord had been dealing with him. And he said, Mark, this is what Mark told us, said, the Lord told me, he said, I want you to give your gold wing away. And he said, Lord, this is all I have. And then he took and he said, if you do what I'm telling you to, I'm going to bless you. Mark didn't know who to give it to. He said, who do I give it to, Lord? He said, you look through my eyes. And down in DeLand, Florida, we were down there at Daytona Bike Week. And David and I was riding off that Friday night to go into Daytona. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, that's who I want you to give it to. On that next Saturday, or next day, on Saturday morning, he said, they were going home. I told him, I said, I was out there talking to him. He said, listen, the Lord told me this week to give my gold wing away. And he said, the Lord told me last night I want to give it to you. And he said, now I rode it all the way down here. I got to ride it back to Albany, Georgia. But next week I'm going to bring it to you and give you the title. Still a lot more story of that, but God came through. I had that gold wing, rode it up until March the 12th, 2011. Every opportunity. I'd hear some of the guys in our chapter say, oh, Lord, he's telling that story again. You know, We need to tell that story. We need to tell whatever that story in your life, whatever God has brought you through. And I was reading this morning, and just a brief part out of it, of Job 26:14, in Job's man's frailty and God's majestic, it said, just a whisper faint. Just a whisper faint. But on March the 12th, 2011, two young girls ran the stop sign there by our store there on 17th. And if I hadn't have been looking, they'd have T-boned me from the side. But I knew to scan, I knew to look. And that comes, see, in our walk with God, there's a lot of times the devil's looking. He comes to do three things: steal, kill, and destroy. And that you look back in your life and you see that he didn't try that. But if you're still confident to God's word, you'll know that he it didn't end there. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And so if I was scanning, I thought, oh Lord, they're gonna stop. No, they didn't stop. And I slammed on brakes, but I hit the back of that car and totaled my bike. Could have ended that day. But God had a plan. And I'm still here today. And still riding, still sharing. Still got the old gold wing out there that I wish somebody else had. It's just in the way. But I'm telling you, God has brought, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my church. Does that mean if I go to church, if I pay my tithes, that I'll never, ever have no more problems? No, that ain't the way it works. Jesus said, while we're in this world, we're going to have trials and tribulations. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So can you. I had a whole bunch more scriptures. One of the things that I can remember, or one of the scriptures I had down to think about or talk about, was the woman with the issue of blood. We know the story. Jesus come back over on this side. Jairus, the ruler by name. Jairus' name was mentioned. The woman with the issue of blood, her name was not even mentioned. But they both had problems. They had a situation in their life that they needed God's help. Same way with us. We have circumstances. We have problems. We need God's help in. And we know the story. Jairus asked the Lord to come. Jesus is ready. We're on our way to go to Jairus's to heal his daughter. The multitude thronging them. Who touched me? What? Everybody's touching you, Jesus. And then turns around, sees the woman. And the woman, we know, you know, if you've been in any teaching, you found out that this woman shouldn't even be in town. Shouldn't even be around people. She's unclean. But she heard. I want you to remember in that story, she heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. She heard from somebody. Somebody had told their story. Somebody had said that I just eased up there and touched the hem of his garment and was made whole. And we know this woman, she had suffered for years. She had went to doctors after doctors and yet grew worse. Spent all she had, yet grew worse. So it was confidence. I got to get to him. When we, I believe, get to the place that, Lord, I need you. And we get down to business, or we get down to get my junk or my stinking thinking out of the way and get to confidence in what God said, that's what he'll do. At that wreck, I mentioned there out of Job, about just a faint, a whisper. To me, it sounds so audibly. That day, I heard the Lord say, all things work together for good. And I remember telling them, they took me to the ER in Thomasville, and I began to tell the doctor and them and different ones what I'd heard. I said, it sounded like a scripture. I said, when I get back to my Bible, I'm going to look and see. And I was telling someone, I don't remember who I was telling, and they said, well, that's my favorite scripture, Romans 8:28, which says, now we know all things. Now, you know, think about that, what it says, now we know all things. And I love that word, all. You'll see out through the Bible that Jesus, he healed how many? All of our diseases. Healed all of our iniquities. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and which are called according to his purpose. God has been faithful in my life. And thank God he's still working. There's times that there might be times in your life it seems like, okay, Lord, you're done with me. You're done with me. Real quick, I know it's time. When we came to this church, and I'd always love, after I'd come from the nursing home and try to run over there to see Sister Reba, but I knew she's going to tell me the same thing. But when we came to this church and I met Brother Clyde and Sister Reba, such a blessing to me. I love the Coleman family. But I can remember, and I've been through a lot of teaching, but I know we'd been to faith churches, but I probably didn't really know how it worked. Okay? I believe, but I probably didn't know how it really worked. And so I met Brother Clyde and Sister Reba, and I'd see them here at church, and I'd see them. They used to go to Hardee's and get them a biscuit, and they'd go across over there, which is Maryland's now, which was a bank parking lot, and they'd watch the traffic go by. Or I'd see them over in the Walmart parking lot, and I'd pull over there because I loved seeing them. I'd say, hey, Brother Clyde and Sister Reba, how y'all doing? Guess what they'd tell me? I'm blessed and highly favored. And then this was what my mind was thinking. I'm new here, and I'm new to meeting them. I thought, every time, and I could have saw them every day that week, and they said, I'm blessed and highly favored. And this is what I thought. I didn't say it to them. I just said, my goodness, don't these old people have a bad day? Don't they ever have a bad day? Yeah, I'm blessed and highly favored. And not only was it a saying for them, you saw it. It was evidence in their life. The Bible speaks a lot about our speaking. You're speaking. You either by this tongue, in Proverbs 18:21 says death and life. I like to do it like this. Death and life in the power of the tongue. It's right there, both of them. It's a choice. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat its fruit. It's going to produce. It's going to produce, and it produced in Brother Clyde and Sister Reva's life. And still, I promise you, I would tell the inmates about Sister Reva and Brother Clyde. I'd tell the folks over at the nursing home about Brother Clyde and Sister Reva. I can remember hearing Brother Clyde and Sister Reva saying, we're going over to the nursing home and speak to the old people. And if we ever had a play or something going on here, who was right in the middle of it? Brother Clyde and Sister Reva. They was always, I love them. But I love the teaching, what she was teaching me, too. And I think we got the teaching. We just got to start getting our confidence back in God's Word. Put it to action. And I said, we, too. When I tell the inmates, when I come preaching to you, I'm not pointing my finger down at you like you no good for nothing. No, I'm just preaching back to me because I need it too. I need to get it in line. I've made a lot of failures in my life, But putting the Lord first, that'll change everything. All these other things, they'll fall in line. It'll work. Amen. God bless y'all. Thank you, Brother David.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you lead us and guide us in the paths of righteousness. And we follow you, Lord, all the days of our life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.